Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. We're recording this interview during the Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Kirk Smith, the executive director of ICHE, joins me. Kirk, the theme for this year's conference, This We Believe, from 1 John 3. Well, after a turbulent legislative session, how does that relate to Christian home education in Illinois?
The reason our conference is named or themed This We Believe is because we've had to draw lines in the sand this year, and you have to know what you believe before you draw those lines. And so it's very appropriate that this is our title. These are our standards. These are our guidelines. This is where we draw the line in the sand.
Well, speaking of the legislature, thanks to a lot of prayer and organized opposition, the state takeover of home education was held off, at least for now. There were several dangerous elements to House Bill 2827, the Homeschool Act. What kept you awake at night?
Well, there were several bad aspects to this bill, Monty, especially earlier on before they made some amendments. But even still, first of all, it could be a criminal offense insofar as state's attorneys would have the right to prosecute people if certain criteria was not met. And what's so bad about that criteria was not well laid out. And so there was a lot of room for subjective interpretation and application of that law. That was one of the biggest things that bothered us. But not just that, Monty, it sets a trajectory. And you and I both know in Springfield, once a trajectory starts taking place, you can go from 1 mile an hour to 100 mile an hour almost overnight. And so while there were some bad things right now, especially to me personally, it was the trajectory of things that would be open up for the future.
How do you go on offense to counter what could be a resurrected version of the Homeschool Act? What do you do in this law before the next battle?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because right now we're starting to get our strategy together. It's interesting, though, that last year there's a small organization, basically I think a member or two, who started going around getting resolutions from various counties around the state. And they've already have about 7 or 8 states signed on that they will not support this. Now, it's a non-binding resolution, but it's still a resolution nonetheless. And there are other things that we have in mind to go around to other counties and also get some objections from state's attorneys as well as the county commissioners.
Well, the level of interest and the opposition to the Homeschool Act is arguably unparalleled in recent Illinois political history. But how do you maintain that interest, that commitment to fight the future bill?
Well, I always say mama bears love their children. Don't mess with mother bears. We had some folks who were afraid of wearing our people out, but the tenacity of homeschooling and the tenacity of our rights to homeschool are at play here. And our people realize that, and they understand that once legislation is taken away, it's so much harder to get back the second time. And so that keeps them really attuned. We have not done many things as far as to motivate our people. They are motivated. They will stay motivated. This will not be a fight that's won over time by the enemy. We're not going to go anywhere. Legislators come and go, but homeschoolers will remain forever.
Proponents contend that homeschooling in Illinois needs some reasonable safeguards to ensure that kids are not truant, that they are in fact being educated. And your argument against that continues to be...
there is just no statistical ground for that. Without exception, not just here in Illinois, in Connecticut recently and also in New Jersey, there were some terrible abuse situations that went on. However, and without exception, all these were public school parents who brought their kids home. This is not a homeschooling problem, Monty. This is a problem with public school parents who try to escape out of that net, that web somehow, and get into homeschooling. But for some reason, our legislators do not understand this is not a homeschooling problem. If they want to really fix the problem, go after the public school parents. If we're following the problem, that's where we need to start, because that's where the problem has started, without exception.
You say go after the government school parents, but What about the government school educators and the administrators? They're culpable as well.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was told that there were two teachers in Costas Howard's own district, and she, of course, was the sponsor of the bill, that were being tried for some level of sexual misconduct in her own district. So we basically need to get our own house cleaned up before we go to somebody else's house.
You ever ask yourself why? What are the real reasons for the Homeschool Act and whatever name the proponents give the new bill forthcoming?
It goes back to ideology, Monty. You and I both know that. We've been around the block several times. It has nothing to do with facts, nothing to do with statistics. Brian Ray is kind of the George Gallup of the homeschool community, and neither the government nor the CRHE, which is out of Massachusetts, is pushing this bill behind the curtain. They don't disagree with Brian Ray's statistics or his surveys. They know it's true. They just don't care anyway. It's the old thing about don't confuse us with the facts, and that's what the legislators are doing here. They just believe they can do it better. Ironically, one of our people was talking with one of the major sponsors of the bill, and this sponsor, they were having a very pleasant talk, she said, and all of a sudden, for just a brief moment, her whole demeanor changed, and this lady said, "You will report to us." It was nothing to do about the kids, nothing to do about the general welfare. Elitists believe that they know best, even with our own kids. And that is just so false. But nevertheless, that's their ideological pursuit, and we're going to stop it.
Do you need help from the Trump administration to do that? They say they favor education choice, education freedom.
Well, that's kind of a mixed bag, Monty, because right now with President Trump, most would think it would be very good with what he would give us on a national level. But if the next president comes through and he has that national leverage already, that could cause big problems, especially for us here in Illinois. So it's really a mixed bag. And as difficult as Illinois is on some things to this point, they still maintain our right to homeschool. We are one of the top two or three best states in which to homeschool. And unfortunately, this proposed bill that did not make it through the spring session would make us one of the worst three in the state. It just makes no sense.
Do you think we need federal legislation to protect home education, particularly Christian home education?
Well, that would be a short-term fix for right now. But like I said, I am concerned where it might go in the next election cycle or the cycle after that. If we get under one federal mandate, they could deal with all of us at one time, whereas right now it's state by state. And I think we still have some freedom with that, even in Illinois.
How do you think the legislative battle for home education will play out at the ballot box? Will homeschool advocates hold lawmakers accountable for the way they voted?
I think most definitely there'll be some consequences. I am not as familiar with Chicago politics as I am with Southern Illinois. I know in Southern Illinois there'll definitely be some kickback, but even up here, especially among the minority homeschoolers with the Black caucus, with also the Latino caucus, they've made some people mad. They being the proponents of this bill, and they have separated themselves. So it's obvious they don't care about anything but trying to shove this down our throats. This is not the will of the people. It's a few extreme ideologues who are trying to push this agenda.
Do you think the whole issue of homeschool freedom is a winning issue for candidates?
I think so, yes, because number one, we have statistics, we have facts, we have precedent, and we're already seeing some Democrats for primary runs already coming out pro-homeschooling. And it's going to be one of the defining election points. And I think our best hope, especially in the Chicagoland area, would be to get some of these people unseated in the primary, not just the general.
Let me ask you this, and I think I know the answer already. Is there any room for compromise in a rebranded version of the Homeschool Act?
Well, if we had a government that could be trusted, possibly. But the bottom line is our government cannot be trusted. They've proven that time and time again. And by the way, it's not just here in Illinois, and it's not just with registration. We have other states, like in Tennessee, they're having ESAs come out. ESA is Education Savings Account. And personally, ICHE is really against ESAs because it opens up the door to further legislation, and that's what we are already seeing. Monty, you and I both know government just cannot help itself. When there's something to get somewhere, they're going to get it and take control of it if they can. And so, unfortunately, in this situation, there is no middle ground.
Well, that's Kirk Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Christian Home Educators. The website is
www.iche.org.
All right, we have some other homeschool-related topics to address. We'll do that right after this.
Hail and well met. My name is Jenna.
I'm Kenna Rose.
And I'm Eliana.
We are three of the five hosts of the Self-Evident Podcast, a platform dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, and our hope is that we do so in love.
We have seen a distinct lack of platforms talking about worldview issues and theology and just a lot of what's going on in the world from a perspective of speaking truth, but doing it in such a way that is loving. And so our hope is to be able to talk about these in such a way that
our peers can access
right,
it.
Right, absolutely.
As well as interviewing a variety of people such as pastors, actors, theologians, directors, even some of our friends to glean wisdom from their own walks of life.
Yeah, so if you are in the Generation Z category, even if you're above that, or impressively, even if you're below that and you're listening to podcasts, good on you. We encourage you to stop by our platform at selfevidentpodcast.com.
Self-evident, speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais, the site of the Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference. I'm joined by Kirk Smith, the executive director of ICHE. And Kirk, if people want to get connected with ICHE, get involved, maybe just want some information, what do they need to do?
Well, of course, we have our website at www.iche.org. That's a great place to start. On our homepage there, you can click on the Receive the Newsletter. This is a weekly newsletter that I send out on various topics, including politics, legislation, and it's just a great how-to. We can also go to our website to get connected with other groups throughout the entire state of Illinois.
All right, there you go. One of the criticisms of the homeschool community is that they are very activated politically in matters related to home education. But for the most part, according to the critics, they're silent on other issues, particularly social issues such as abortion or assisted suicide. How do you respond to that?
Well, they say they're silent. They're not silent. They just work through other means. ICHE is exclusively about homeschooling. Having said that, we all are partakers of other groups as well, but the one thing we do agree on, that we do fight for, is homeschooling. We can't fight every fight. We don't have the manpower nor the finances, but the one thing we do come together on, again, whether they're sectarian or non-sectarian, regardless of what kind of religion they are, we all come out together to fight for our right to homeschool.
Do you think the legislative battle involving home education will help or hurt home education? And by that I mean, maybe some parents will be even more dedicated to the homeschool movement, or they're going to say, I don't want to get involved with that because the state's going to come after me.
Well, when it comes to their children, parents don't care. They don't care what it will cost them. They will go to the fight. As you know, Monty, you were there. We had 7,000 show up at the Capitol. We had a record number of witness slips, over 50,000 in less than 24 hours. Parents that are homeschooling their kids, other folks don't really understand. We pour everything into our kids. That's why this bill is so bad, because we know our heart for our kids, and we're going to stay in the fight no matter what it takes going forward. And so, again, we're not going to go anywhere. This bill will be fought. I don't care how many sessions it comes in. We will stay there. Now, ironically, we are charged with having these real deep pockets and this great massive network. We have neither. We don't have deep pockets, but we have parents who are concerned, and parents will do whatever it takes. They will give what money they need to. They will come to Springfield, as we've already seen they will do. They will do what it takes. And I don't think the opposition understands this. They don't understand parents that are so committed to their kids' education, not just academically, but in life issues as well. They can't comprehend the depth of commitment that parents have. We're not going to go away.
I know you're not a lawyer and you don't play one on TV, but do you think you have a strong legal argument against a new homeschool act?
Well, I've been told different things, and we haven't gotten to that point yet, and our goal is not to get there. Of course, there's all sorts of individuals who are sharing their desire to sue. That's not our goal right now. Our goal is to get this shut down, and our legislators would really, Monty, not just respect our rights to freedom, but we're bringing other people in. And so what these folks are unintentionally doing, they're driving freedom lovers together all around the state from all different organizations. So it's not just now homeschooling, it's other groups coming in to fight with us as well.
It's a new coalition.
A new coalition.
There
that would
go.
Be great. We could homeschool on the back of motorcycles.
I'll get my Harley tomorrow. All right. You make the argument that Christian home education is about substance, not just about math, science, or reading skills, that sort of substance, but it's also about spiritual growth.
Absolutely.
And more parents are making discipleship through Christian home education.
Yes. Who'd have thought, Monty, that 5 years ago, God would use the public school system to blow up homeschooling across the nation through this thing called COVID? And what people are realizing is, number one, their kids were not getting that good of an academic experience in school. And so if parents can do that better, as well as teach life lessons in a safe environment, that's why people are coming to homeschooling in record numbers, because what we do works on every single level.
Kirk, how do you respond to Bible-preaching, Bible-believing churches that are reluctant to host a homeschool co-op or house a micro Christian school within their building? What's your message to them? How could that involvement benefit the church?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was a pastor for 25 years, and we had a massive support group in our own church. And it was a blessing because many of them who weren't already members of our church came anyway. But plus, it just builds the kingdom. Monty, I try to be an open-minded person. I really do. But what I've seen in homeschooling, it just works. All the statistics bear this out. I know some pastors feel pinched between public school and private school, but basically they have to come to an understanding that they put themselves there. Our church was about a third Christian school, a third public school, and a third homeschool, and we got along great. And so I just would encourage pastors to serve all their members. Yes, there might be a superintendent or a teachers in their congregation, and that might warrant several conversations. But again, if we're all Bible-believing Christians, we should have these difficult conversations for the good of the people.
We've discussed this in the past, but you and your lovely wife are former government school teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You were pro-government school. What flipped you?
When it came time to actually put our kids in school, we really took a hard look. And Monty, for us, it was not an anti-public school move or an anti-this move. For us, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it says, talk about the Lord when you rise up, when you go down, when you walk throughout the day, when you sit. And we realized we could not obey that scripture if our kids were gone 8 to 9 hours of the best hours of the day. And so we made our decision there. And to be honest, we've never looked back. It has far, far, far surpassed our expectations. We were some of the first to homeschool in our area, so we had no precedence till we came to our ICHE conference over 20 years ago. And I would just say for those who are thinking about homeschooling, it is the most wonderful thing, not just academically. We've had several kids go through school. We've got a chemical engineer. We've got one got his MBA business. We've been successful academically, but more importantly for us, we've been successful spiritually by the mercies of God. And Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek first God's kingdom, all the secondary things like education will be added to that. And that's what I want on my tombstone, Monty, is Matthew 6:33.
How has home education improved your marriage?
Well, first of all, it makes us increasingly dependent upon God. And we've had talks over the years. Our talk time has been first thing in the morning. We are out in the country. We have about a quarter mile paved road by us. And our kids have told us over the years how much benefit and how much security they felt to see mom and dad out there walking every morning, talking and praying about our kids, what's going on, what's the need of the day, what's the need right now of each child. And that has cemented us together. Our vision has grown together as well. And so in every way possible, it has benefited our marriage. We are committed to each other. It's for our children. Now our grandchildren, Lord willing, our great-grandchildren one this day. It puts unique burdens on a marriage at times. But if we seek God, every time we go deeper, we get more grounded.
Well, that leads to this question. You mentioned grandparents. How can ICHE help parents and grandparents who are new to home education,
yeah,
get involved.
One of the bumper stickers I hate the most, Monty, is I'm spending my kids' inheritance, because there's no generational vision there. And that's what ICHE, we are a vision organization. And so we want to tell grandparents, yes, go to Florida for a while. Do the things you've worked so hard to do, but the only thing you're leaving behind is what you do with Jesus and what you do for Jesus, and that starts in your own family. And we're seeing now 2- and 3-generation grandparents working with their grandkids or great-grandkids, and it's given them such great memories for their kids, and it's given the grandparents purpose as well. And so for all the grandparents out there, that's all that we're leaving behind. And so, yes, have your fun time, but remember what matters the most, and that's what we do with our grandkids.
Just a couple more minutes here, Kirk, but I think one of the ways that ICHE can help parents is through helping them pick out curriculum, things like that, how to keep leftist indoctrination out of their home school.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, as we do this interview right now, we're at the conference. We are very particular about what comes into here. And I'm not saying some things can't get through us, but if your folks ever do come to future events here, you can have pretty good assurance that the curriculum you'll get here will be good curriculum. And also, we do talks throughout the year on that. We have done podcasts on what makes for good curriculum, what to be careful for, but it does matter, because there are different things that are taught in different various levels of curriculum. And so parents should be wise. I'll be honest with you, Monty. I get a little concerned, though, because there are some different groups that come in, even to Christian home education, who as a whole, we would not call them evangelical. I get a little troubled sometimes because people just look at the curriculum itself as an end to itself rather than something that points us to Jesus Christ. We want something that's not just good academically, but is solid theologically.
What do you see as the greatest non-legislative threat to Christian home education?
Well, boy, I want to be careful here, but I think I said before,
don't be too careful.
I think ESAs are one of our concerns, education savings account. And basically, the government pays you your tax dollars that they would pay the public school. And most people just want to jump on that. I mean, for my family, I could have retired myself, Monty, with 11 kids. Eventually, there become strings attached. That's happened to almost every state we've seen so far. And so me, I think that's the Trojan horse. If they can get in and get our material, start putting increased regulations, because whoever gives the money gives the strings as well. And so that's why, as our organization, we are very much opposed to ESAs.
Kirk, let's wrap up with this. How can Christian voters ensure against government overreach in matters related to Christian home education in Christian schools?
Well, I think there's one term, Monty. We've never talked about this before, but I want to tell you something I've been thinking about lately. You have political purists, and that's great if you live in Texas or Florida, but in Illinois, you've got to learn to play with other people who have similar visions to you. Now, it might not be every T crossed and I dotted, but we try to work with organizations who share our vision of freedom, at least for homeschooling. And we never want to compromise in our other areas, but we are really trying to work with those who are freedom lovers. And secondly, you've got to get involved in the political process. And I know IFI has been doing this message for years. If every single professing Christian in the state of Illinois would vote according to the scripture, not according to their political preference, whether that's Republican or Democrat, we would own this state. But it's just too easy for people to sit back and complain and gripe than get involved. And that's what it's going to have to take to keep our freedoms and then build on those freedoms for the next generation.
So when the next attack on home education comes, and it could come soon, you're expecting it, what do Christian voters need to do?
Well, again, they need to vote. They need to become informed voters. I know YFI always puts out a voting guide. Ignorance is no longer an excuse. With the internet, with all the ministries that are out there, we cannot just put our head in the sand and say, well, I didn't know. We all know now. We just got to get with it. And as well, we got to put some money into the game, got to put some time and energy into the game. And that's what we've got to do, time, energy, and resources. Folks, what kind of a price can you put on freedom? As you see with the homeschoolers this last year, there's no price that we will not pay to keep our freedoms. And that, plus God's grace, has given us what we had today, victory over HB 2827.
All right, there you go. Kirk, once again, ICHE is involved year-round. It's just not a few days for a big conference.
And that's one of the things that we say. Some conferences come in, blow up and blow out. We're here 52 weeks a year to support and to protect our people's rights to homeschool according to the dictates of their own hearts.
And the website is?
ICHE.org.
I've gone to your website. There's great information there.
There is, and there's a lot of information there.
I encourage you folks to visit ICHE.org. Thank you, Kirk Smith. God bless you and all your work.
Monty, it's always a joy talking with you. You do a good job. I appreciate it.
I'll pay you later, Kirk. All right, take care. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Do support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. We have got a big banquet coming up November 7th with none other than Riley Gaines as our keynote speaker. She's fighting for freedom, for privacy, and I think you're going to really enjoy what she has to say. You can give us a call at 708-781-9328 or just go to illinoisfamily.org and click events, and you can get the information about the banquet. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.